Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. TGIF, hope you're having a good day. It is, man, it is blisteringly hot. I'm going to go over that today. There are a couple of changes I've made since I did that one a couple of days ago. We are glad to have you with us here on the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio and Drew at the controls. We had a chance to hear from Coach Hugh Freeze this morning before practice, and we found out a little bit more that he did say he wants two scrimmages this fall, and sounds like one of them, it may not be a full scrimmage tomorrow, but there will be some scrimmage situations tomorrow when, if you're a member of On to Victory, you're able to be there at practice, and if you're a member of the media and have RSVP'd, you can be at practice tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. I think tomorrow is a big day for Auburn football. It's sort of moving day, if you will, a little bit. I mean, because a lot of youngsters have had a lot thrown at them, even though most of them were here in the spring. We've heard, you know, some of the guys who have really been standing out here early on. Now they get the opportunity out there on the field at Jordan-Hare, and there'll probably be, you know, a couple of thousand eyes watching them, and that will mean something.
Yeah, I wonder where the real competitions, you know, that the coaching staff is focused on. I wonder where those are on the depth chart. You know, we get the sense, you know, you're just looking at the informal one, you know, looking at the informal Bill Cameron one here. I would think that the backup behind Peyton is something they're still evaluating pretty closely. You know, it sounds like when we got to talk to Ken Austin, that there's not a ton of daylight between Holden and Hank. For the number two spot behind Peyton,
right? And he really likes Walker White's, you know, tools. But he's got to, you know, he's Hugh Freeze today said that he's been great in 7-on-7. It's 11-on-11 when you're looking at all the different looks and things like that.
And that did sound.
And you know, football is an 11-on-11 game.
That did sound like a coach. Yeah, maybe 7-on-7s will start to take hold in the new era of college athletics. But for now, football, an 11-on-11 game.
Maybe we can get those in the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you're keeping 11-on-11 football, the thought of also having 7-on-7 teams for men and, for that matter, for women, I don't think is the craziest idea in the world if schools are looking for more sports. I don't know exactly what the market is for intercollegiate 7-on-7 football. But you know what? As football grows in popularity and more kids play it growing up.
There's another one for college. For college, if you need a women's sport, because look at the state of Alabama and how popular the girls' flag football is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I don't know how many schools need to adopt a sport for it to get D1 acceptance. I know there are only 14 or 16 schools with men's gymnastics in at the D1 level, including new SEC team Oklahoma becoming the only school in the conference with a men's team. Okay, so we're quarterback after Peyton.
Right, it's big day for the quarterbacks battling for the number two spot.
9 scholarship receivers.
Yep.
You get the sense that the number of guys getting minutes or snaps is not going to be 9.
No, not once the season gets going. I mean, you need to have it to a more workable, probably 6.
Right, and you've got 2 freshmen who didn't go through spring practice.
One of whom continues to. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, Perry Thompson was the more highly touted guy. Malcolm Simmons continues to turn heads. I mean, not that Perry doesn't. Perry absolutely does. But, boy, you talk about 2 freshman receivers that have come in, and they are immediately pushing to earn themselves some minutes. That's a word that, that Hugh Freeze used today, that earn playing time.
Yeah.
You know, earn what they get.
Go get some minutes, yeah. And with, I mean, with nine scholarship receivers, you wonder when the cut back to seven or six occurs and who's not in the picture at that point. And I feel like that's why, you know, it's a, the two scrimmages are big moments for both of the receivers. On the offensive line, you know, it sounds like the starting lineup is pretty crystallized. You know, it sounds like they've got, you know, they've got five guys they feel pretty good about at the top. And then beyond that, Tate Johnson's your next center.
Braden Joyner is the guy. That was interesting that Hugh Freeze, that was the first name he brought up among the young offensive linemen. He's a guy that has really come on from late this spring through the summer and into early fall.
Yeah, it sounds like Tyler and Ronan got acknowledged as the tackle options. You had Braden and the freshman Dre Carter.
Oh yeah, DeAndre Carter.
Yeah, Dre Carter gets mentioned as a guy who's having a big fall, and then Tate Johnson. That would be, since that's your next five on the,
yeah, I guess it
line.
Could be, although, you know, Braden's been working at center and guard, and Tate can work at center and guard.
Sure.
That's, I think, the thing that...
I think Thornton said Tate was his backup guard yesterday.
Right.
During the breakout.
Jake and most folks like to have a player that can play a couple of positions. Hopefully, that would be like your number six guy. So in case one player goes down, you can move some other people around and still have your next five best players there on the offensive line.
Keep in mind too, it's a senior laden offensive line.
Right.
You're talking about four seniors in your starting lineup. Now I don't know how many of those guys, if any of them have a COVID year.
I don't think they do.
Would Tuttle maybe be class of? Was he high school class of 20? Where he gets that first year?
No, I don't think so, because he played junior college. I think he played 2 years of junior college and then came.
Sure, but I still think you might get the junior college year back if you're playing in
21, 22, 23.
Oh, no, if he was high school class of 21, then no, he wouldn't be. If he was, for some reason, I thought he was high school class of 20, so he might be a fourth year. Yeah, I mean, you could have four seniors, you know, playing their last year of college football.
And sophomore Connor Luke.
Percy, Dylan, Jeremiah, and Tuttle.
Right.
So who's up next? Could also, you know, it matters a lot for this year.
Mm-hmm.
It matters a ton for next year too, especially when you're thinking about guys like Braden and Tyler Johnson, who have multiple years of eligibility remaining beyond 2024. It's a huge deal to see those guys. I guess Dylan Senda got mentioned yesterday by Jake Thornton,
and he mentioned E.J. Harris as well.
Yeah,
too.
So, I mean, those are sort of the next wave. I mean, and Seth Wilford, you know, also probably. I mean, these are. It's crazy to think, Bill. You know, it wasn't all that long ago. We weren't talking about the seven or eight young offensive linemen who could be starters next year beyond the five.
No, you didn't have seven or eight guys that you could even count on that would be here next year,
right,
unless you were going to go out and find some. So, I mean, it's important for those guys.
Did we mention Jaden Muskrat? Because that's the other one.
I have not heard him mentioned. Although I saw him out there working with the twos.
And
he's just sort of they know what they have in him.
Not a first year guy,
right?
Yeah, I mean, Muskie is somebody who saw some action last year. And felt like coming out of the spring, he could be the backup. Felt like he might be the sixth man on the offensive line coming out of the spring.
Yeah, at times it looked like that. So we'll run down. I thought, I brought it today. I thought I'll sort of run down my pre-scrimmage depth chart, and we'll see how close it is. Now, again, just because guys don't come out in the order that we expect, or they do come out in a certain order, doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be. But I think you can still gather some things from who is working with what group as we are in the second week of practice. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. I'm sure we will have some audio for you as well. We can let you hear some of the comments from Hugh Freeze today. We've got coaches and players. We'd love to hear your comments, though. And you can call us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, that number 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to the Drive Hotline, and James gets us started. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing today, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, got a quick question. What's the status of McPherson, the kicker?
Hugh Freeze.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, you know, he had that gastrointestinal problem where, you know, I mean, all 155 pounds of him wasn't even there. He had lost some weight and strength, and that was something that Hugh Freeze talked about. He's mentioned a couple of times that he's getting a little better. They think they have things under control. He's been out there at practice, just, you know, watching practice and sort of helping coach the young guys. But it sounds like he's getting closer, but he hasn't, at least he hadn't as of yesterday, been cleared. So, you know, Auburn may well have to open the season with true freshman Towns Magoo. They're extremely fortunate to have someone like that behind Alex. But I think they're expecting him back here pretty soon. It's just how quickly can he, you know, regain enough strength to be able to get out there and be counted on.
Okay, one more. Who is going to back up Oscar Chapman in the punting duty?
Auburn's got a couple of walk-ons that are out there.
Oscar's your only scholarship option at the position.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I guess if you I don't know, when you take a road trip, I doubt that they're going to take another punter. You know, maybe either Alex or Towns could punt in a pinch, but I don't expect them to have anybody else that's going to get much work. That's one thing you just sort of take for granted, that your punter is going to be healthy, and that can be a huge loss if something were to happen there.
Exactly. Okay, man, I appreciate your time.
All right, James, appreciate the call. That's one I hadn't really thought that much about. It's the backup for Oscar Chapman. It's rare when a punter gets hurt, but it can happen.
I believe. Okay, so
you got the roster?
Well, Auburn's website lists.
I've got a copy of the roster.
AuburnTigers.com lists Towns Magoo as a kicker / punter. So maybe Towns has done some of that. There's also Gabe Russo on the roster.
Yeah, Gabe Russo is a redshirt freshman from Montgomery that was an invited walk-on last year.
Gabe and Towns are the only other two players on AuburnTigers.com's roster.
Yeah.
that are listed at punter other than Oscar.
Yeah, Towns is listed as a kicker / punter. Gabe is listed as a punter / kicker. And, yes, they're the only ones that have anything. There are a couple of other non-scholarship kickers out there, but it looks like those are your punting prospects.
We should probably check with Scott Bagwell during the break and see what kind of punter Towns Magoo is. We could probably find, you know what I mean?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure Scott probably could let you know if he's got some game there.
All right, we'll get to our first break. When we come back, we're going to let you hear some comments from Hugh Freeze as he met with the media today, getting ready for a big practice tomorrow.
Do we try Barrett? Is he busy?
We can try. Let's do that. Let's try Barrett, and then we'll see if we can't. As we get into football, see if we can't get Barrett on a day. I wonder if Fridays might be okay once baseball's over, but baseball goes on for half the season. So, yeah, we'll see if we can check in with Barrett Salee on the other side here on the Friday Drive.
The Edward Via College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Live at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and yes, because it's I have forgotten a couple of times. Barrett has been he's busy when the Braves are at home. He has other duties, but we're pleased to bring Barrett Salee back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Barrett, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, y'all. Just fighting a little COVID, but other than that, I'm doing just fine.
Man, you and Noah Lyles, and yeah, I mean, just
everybody. I think,
man, you're not kidding. There is a lot. I mean, I know a lot of folks that have been dealing with COVID here over the last two or three weeks.
I'm no scientist, Barrett. I wonder if we're going to see like back to school COVID and flu spikes and Halloween COVID and flu spikes seemingly
I mean, kids are petri dishes. You know, they get back to school and they trade germs and they bring them all back home.
So, yeah,
but you know, you mentioned Noah Lyles and me both having it. I think when it comes to athletic ability, you know, I would say that I would be able to handle COVID a little bit better than he did, because I could finish first or second.
Right. Well, it's I think the COVID's the big reason why you didn't win the 200, right?
Isn't I agree. That what, yeah, I agree. Mean, you know, it's
folks are
know,
saying.
Otherwise, I would have been on a plane over there and winning the 200 meter. I mean, it's just that easy.
You know, Barrett, we were going to start with college football because it's just a couple of weeks away. But during the break, I shared with Bill the incredible statistic that this is the first time in 3 or 4 years that this late in the season the Braves find themselves on the outside looking in of the National League playoff picture. And I'm curious as to your thoughts. Check the vibes thermometer and see how you're feeling about the Bravos.
Well, angry. You know, it's crazy too because you mentioned that. But in 21, they were under 500. They were still in it. You know, they were still in those spots because the NL sucked so bad. It's painful watching that team, man. It is just so painful. The inability to get on base and get clutch hits. It's mind-numbingly frustrating. And it's worse after what we saw them do last year. You know, they always say a 3-run home run is your best friend. Well, hell, we can't get two people on base in order to hit a 3-run home run. So it's about as frustrating as it possibly could be. And, you know, it's luckily you get the Rockies and, you know, they're struggling a little bit, but it's the vibe check here in Atlanta is just pure anger at this point.
And I would guess Matt Olson's probably the poster child. I mean,
he's up there.
It has been an amazingly difficult struggle for him this year.
He's up there, that's for sure. Riley's not, but I mean, see, Matt's been okay at times. I think the biggest frustration for me and for a lot of other people is Adam Duvall, because you know Jared Kelnick was good in the leadoff spot for a little while, and you know that's fine. You know, I don't think we expected a lot out of Jared Kelnick, but Adam Duvall hitting, you know, the weight of my 12-year-old is not okay. You know, that's just not okay. So the back end of that lineup it's just awful. But with Matt, yeah, you know, I think he went through that stretch where he was hitting the ball hard, they just weren't falling, and then they started to fall, and then now he's back to a point where he's not even hitting the ball hard anymore. And I don't know if he's in his head or not. Generally speaking, it's hard to figure out where Matt is mentally because he's so soft-spoken, but he's definitely one of the biggest frustrations, there's no doubt.
That and just being able to field, you know, a semblance of a healthy pitching staff.
Yeah, it's and luckily got Max back, but you counted on, you know, to count on a guy like Chris Sale who's been injured, although granted, a lot of his injuries the last 5 years have been freak injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something you'd like going into the stretch run. And, you know, I thought going in, if they made the playoffs, then they'd be just fine with Max, Chris Sale, and Ronaldo Lopez. But obviously Lopez is not going to happen for a little while. And so suddenly you're in a spot now where in a short series, you might have to question and just throw a random dude out there, do a bullpen game for game three. And that's just not going to happen. That's bright best case scenario, considering they got to get to the postseason to begin with. So it's frustrating. There's no doubt.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, but there's still got nearly a third of the season to go. So there's time.
Yeah.
They just need to get, you know, as many pieces back as they can and try to get something rolling. But there's plenty of time still.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if Duvall just starts hitting just a little bit better and just getting the lineup to turn over, that'll be adequate. But batting, what, 150, 160, whatever he is, that's not okay. And it makes me wonder if, you know, what happens when Michael Harris comes back. You know, you put him at center, but you got to move Kelnick to left and Jorge in right, and Jorge hasn't even done an awful lot. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, Duvall's going to be released, but I don't think he's going to go down to the minors, and he's useless on the bench.
Probably
so,
not.
You know, what happens at that point? There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen over the next 5-10 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Talking with Barrett Salee here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Barrett, of course, does the Braves report, but he's there on Sirius XM and college football smothered and covered. And as Dan said, we're just a couple of weeks away from the first, week zero of college football. It's you know, that time where everybody's in their second week of fall practice. And thus far, I mean, over here, the vibes have been pretty darn good from what we've gotten from Hugh Freeze players and coaches here as Auburn heading into year two of the Hugh Freeze era, but year one of the expanded SEC.
Yeah, you know, I saw the quotes today from the school, and it seems like they're happy with Peyton Thorne. I talked to some folks down there about the offensive line, and it sounds like, you know, Hugh's comments today maybe short sold the offensive line a little bit. So, you know, a little bit better helps, but I've heard a lot, things are going really,
right.
really well from that perspective. So, yeah, you know, I think for Auburn, it's a chance to fine tune things, and we've talked about this a bunch, guys. It's like, okay, if Auburn can just get a little better on the offensive line and just have somebody get open. Nobody was open last year. Just get somebody open, then they'll be just fine. And, you know, it sounds like with with the two new guys and then with Cam, you know, they've got three guys who they trust to get open. And Robert Lewis is a guy that they can use as a Swiss Army knife. So I think for Auburn, all reports are good reports so far. And the last thing you need if you're any school is to lose a guy like we saw with Texas and C.J. Baxter. But so far, so good. There's no doubt. And you mentioned week zero. I will actually be covering the game in Ireland.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
And Georgia Tech. So I'm real pumped about that.
Have you ever been over there? It's pretty funny. My wife just last night said, hey, there's a group that's going to Ireland next year. What would you think about that? And it's like, man, that'd be good. You'd give us a scouting report.
Yeah, I've not been there, and one of the events, it's like this PR firm that's hosting a bunch of media folks in conjunction with like Irish American sports business relations or whatever. Huh. So it's all expenses paid. One of them is at the Guinness Factory, which is going to be great.
Oh yeah,
brewery. And then I'm going to try to sneak in at least 9 holes, either on the front end or the back end, because I mean I've never been to Ireland, but last time I checked, I think they do have some pretty decent golf courses there.
Sure. Now the Guinness folks might be upset if you try to play there, but you know, but if you find a course somewhere, I'm sure that would be.
Yeah, and there are a few really close to the hotel.
I would think.
And,
yeah,
the Jameson Distillery is another one that like I've got all these plans of what I'm going to do, and like working is not anywhere close to the top.
Sure, it's Dublin, right?
Yes, it's in Dublin.
Oh, that should be. Yeah, that's just.
You got plenty of time to get healthier now, so that's the thing. Just take care, so make sure that you're good.
Maybe,
and
maybe read Ulysses on your downtime here. You know, Joyce will give you a little.
Right.
Joyce will give that's you a little right. tour of Dublin before you get over there. So no, I mean you mentioned the positive atmosphere around Auburn right now. You know, I can't help but notice, and I wonder. You know, you've got a read on a lot of rosters that were built on the fly in the last year or two. You know, so many players last year, Barrett, were going through their first fall camp at Auburn. A lot of, you know, pretty much the entire coaching staff was newly arrived. The fact that so many of those guys are back for year two and they have the comfort of not having changed teams in the offseason like they did last year, I mean, you would think that's a reason why things feel a little bit more settled here in Auburn than they did certainly last year, but in comparison to most of the last couple of fall camps.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I remember talking to Hugh before last season, and he just basically said his head's spinning. Like his head's spinning trying to grasp everything that's going on. And you know, you have a foundation that's built, and you have established leaders who you can rely on the roster. So you know, Hugh can do the other things as a head coach off the field or recruit or whatever. So you know, it's a positive atmosphere, I think, for sure. And, you know, you go back and look at those Ole Miss days, that's exactly what he built at Ole Miss. That's why they were successful. We can sit here and talk about, you know, all the few studs he had, and he gets unfairly branded for being, you know, cutting corners from a recruiting perspective. They had nowhere close to the amount of talented players as other teams, and they still won because he creates a great culture. And it sounds like that's what's happened at Auburn. And, you know, last year to me, I don't know about you guys, but last offseason, it felt like it was a more chaotic transfer portal for everybody, including mm-hmm. Auburn, especially, you know, for coaches that had new jobs. And it felt this time like everybody, including players, had a much firmer grasp of what's going on. So the chaos that, like, Auburn had last summer, even if a team has a new coach, it's not nearly as hectic as it was. And I think for Auburn, that the ability to like settle down and have the waters be less choppy, I think certainly helps.
Well, I mean, everybody has gone through it. I mean, now, I mean, it's something that you can look back and go, well, we may have approached it right or we didn't, but here's what we ought to do. And players have had teammates going in and seeing how things have gone. So I think it's just been a learning experience. And yeah, it was a lot smoother, it appeared, for just about everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for Hugh at Auburn, you know, having sort of created the recipe in the way that he wants to. I mean, Hugh's always said he wants 75% high school. He'd like 100, but mostly 75 is sort of like the baseline of where he wants to be for roster building. So, you know, you look at that team, and a lot of it is, you know, a lot of them are high school players who signed with Auburn. So, you know, having that foundation sort of being laid, I think, is certainly helpful. And I think it's all about roles too. Like the leaders of that team know their roles. It's not like you have people coming in and, you know, stirring up the pot a little bit. It seems like everybody's sort of in tune, and that's the biggest thing you can do in terms of the offseason, having the ability to welcome new people in and not have people go in 85 different directions, because we've seen what happens when people go in 85 different directions like they did in 2012.
Oh, yeah. Barry, any idea, I mean, on the – before – I mean, I don't want to keep you too long, but, I mean, any idea when we might have some closure or know what the answers are going to be as far as the scholarship limit and increased scholarships that have been proposed?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be, like, officially ratified or whatever soon, so – you know, I'm going to be interested to see what happens, if it's good for the big money programs or bad, because I think there's two trains of thought. I mean, if you can offer 105, 105 is going to be what you is, you know, the big teams, that they'll like that ability, like Bear Bryant days, but they might not do that because coaches like walk-ons. Coaches like to have players who want to play and have it mean everything in practice and not complain about NIL or try and transferring and things like that. So I think it's going to help the smaller to mid-revenue, non-revenue sports, because I think they'll get more scholarships, and ultimately it'll create a more you'll have athletic departments and schools that just consistently are competitive in every sport. So that's what I think is going to happen. But it'll be happening soon. And 105, it seems like a big number, but I don't think you're going to see many schools, you know, cap out at 105. I think that they'll be a little bit smarter with
right.
how they do it.
Oh, yeah. Now, especially now that they're equivalency and they can go partial scholarships. But, I mean, as Free said a week or so ago, hey, they need to know, because they're recruiting these guys now that are going to be part of whatever that number is next year.
It's almost like college athletics are beautifully dysfunctional.
Definitely are dysfunctional.
Barry, when are you headed to Dublin?
Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. So just under 2 weeks. Flying Wednesday, get there Thursday morning. Dub the game Saturday. Got to do my SiriusXM show Sunday from Dublin, and flying back Monday.
Oh man, well, that what an experience that should be, Barrett. Man, we hope you get feeling better very soon. Yeah. Let everybody know what you've got on tap here. I mean, what are you going to be able to do here while you're battling COVID?
All the writing stuff's going on at Outkick, a podcast, College Football Smothered and Covered. Got some big news on that side of things coming up in the next week or so. And then SiriusXM, week zero, we restart college sports Sunday, and we'll also be on throughout the course of the week at times. So that's all, but hopefully some big news on College Football Smothered and Covered here shortly.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Barrett, man. Take care.
Thanks, y'all.
Barrett Salid joining us. Man, that's nice of him to join us. A little under the weather there, battling COVID. It probably is. I think you're right on there. I mean, he's got young kids back to school, come back home. Yeah, it's something that I would think we're gonna see for a while.
I gotta put the astronaut suit back on if I'm going on campus these next couple of weeks, Bill.
You're right about that.
Scuba suited up.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll let you hear some of Hugh Freeze's comments from today's press conference. Your calls, though, come first, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive. This Friday afternoon, 21 minutes away from 5 o'clock, And as we mentioned, we had a chance to talk with Hugh Freeze before Auburn's practice today, and got some thoughts on the Tigers after 1 week of practice and getting ready for a big day practice tomorrow in the stadium. So here are some of the comments.
I really hope, and again, not just because I asked the question, but because I really appreciated his answer, I really hope we get a chance to run
the receivers.
Yeah, about, you know, I asked, you know, midway through or so about.
Well, nobody had ever asked. Nobody kept. It's. I meant to ask last week about return guys, and I liked his response to that too. So here we go. Here's some of the comments. We may not run all of it. We could save some of it. Again, if you'd like to join us, we can pause this and get your calls as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Last week before camp started, you said that you'd be disappointed if you didn't look sharp out there, given the things that you guys have chosen to focus on. How do you feel 1 week toward camp about the things that you guys are trying to do well?
Really pleased, honestly, which is shocking to me. But, I mean, the, you know, when I say really pleased, there's it's a back and forth. You know, you wish – that's probably a good thing to see how each side responds. We've been a little inconsistent in special teams, which was disappointing. I think we'll get that fixed and be okay. But offensively and defensively, it's been some good back and forth. And I think our kids are gaining an understanding of both schemes and making the checks and adjustments that we need to. And so I'm pretty pleased 1 week in. The effort has been great. It's been a little too chippy and unprotective a couple days, and I don't know exactly how to balance that. I think that's I guess you can go the route of you know, not having a lot of contact, but I just don't know that you can win in camp. And it scares me to death, truthfully, practices in camp. And it scares me to death, truthfully, because we need to stay healthy. We're not that deep at places. And so we've stressed that heavily the last 3 days of trying to practice cleaner without people on the ground. And it has gotten a little better, but we had 2 days in a row that were some really scary things when you watch the film that easily could have hurt somebody. And so I think everybody's dealing with that to a certain extent, and me just trying to figure out exactly how to approach that, particularly with two scrimmages coming up, and it's not the easiest thing. I don't know that I have the answer.
You talked about depth. What's it like as a head coach and an offensive guy to look at the offensive line and start to see depth in the middle and even at tackle in just a short time?
Yeah, we're forming some. I tell you, he didn't get a lot. Didn't get talked about a lot. Joiner's really surprised me. Truthfully, he's going to be a really solid backup for us and can play all three in the middle. Tate is leading, and gosh, just he's practicing really, really hard, and so feel really good about those two. And I tell you, Dre Carter's got something to him now. He's just a freshman and needs to get stronger and all of that, but he moves people. And so those three, along with Tyler Johnson and Ronan Chambers has done some good things too at tackle. So feel like we're developing some depth there.
Hugh, when you mentioned that intensity and kind of, like you said, those scary moments, was that just a little too much physicality during a play, or was it extracurricular stuff? I guess, how would you describe that?
No, we hadn't had a lot of extracurricular stuff. You always have a little of that. I only remember two of those, and whether it's inside run and there's in the play, it's whether it's inside defensive line runs a twist and everybody, you know, guys on the ground runs a twist and everybody gets tangled. A running, there's five guys on the ground on top of each other, or a running back is going through the hole during that drill and that hitting the bottom of his arm from you know, hitting the bottom of his leg on his ankle or somewhere. And then in one-on-ones is always a challenge to get the DBs to stay off when they're in trail position, to stay off the back of the receivers. That's kind of how Dre Lambert got his ankle. So it's just – most of it's been during the plays, just people getting after it and physical and just too
– Yeah, question about the offense.
Round.
Yeah, question about the offense so far. Have you been able to step up data on – are things flowing?
Please, one weekend. I think Peyton is Nix's mind, understanding of my mind, and Nix's mind on how we see this offense operating and what we depend upon him to fix. And it's been some – he's had some really good moments where he did some things that made me go, all right, that was smart. And it's all about him understanding what the fixes are, particularly in our RPO game and in our protection game. And I think he and Hank and Holden all, and Walker has looked incredible in 7-on-7, and the game is a little fast for him right now. In the 11-on-11 world, he when he's got to think about the protections and fixing those, that's new to him a bit. But as far as him getting 7-on-7 and he knows the routes that are running, man, he looks really good. So I'm pleased with them to this point. We've thrown a lot at them, and I think we only have one more install, and then try to throw everything together for the last few days of camp before you get into a game plan situation.
Hugh, on the defensive line, the interior guys, you got a lot of guys there, but have you seen any kind of separation there, any guys kind of sticking out at those tackle spots?
Yeah, I said before, I think, you know, until we really get into the season, I don't know. You know, Marcus Harris was pretty dominant. Do we have that guy? I don't know. I do think we have 6 to 7 bodies that fit the prototype of what you need in there. And I think what DJ is able to do defensively is use their skill sets to create some negative plays. Isaiah's got the potential to be that guy. Phillip is strong as I've had. And, you know, you got Gage and Trill and Bobby and, you know, TJ Lindsey's coming on, Malik Blockton. So we got some guys in there, and I think it's just going to be Jason Jones has led well, seems to be playing harder, more consistently. So I think we've got some guys that you can rotate in there, and hopefully them playing a limited number of plays, being really fresh, even helps us.
In the return game, how are things looking? I know Keontae and Jarquez have both told us that they want to be back there in the kickoffs.
I doubt Keontae's going to return kickoffs very seriously, and probably maybe not even Jarquez. I know he wants to, but Keontae's been out with a hamstring, so he hadn't. Man, you look at the Malcolm Simmons, Bryce, Dre Lambert Smith, all are pretty solid at the punt return game. Probably if I had to say today, you're probably looking at Jeremiah Cobb returning kickoffs primarily, but that's today.
Hugh, there's been talk all offseason and even into fall camp about the guys in the secondary. You have a couple of really experienced guys, and then you described them back in the spring, a lot of young puppies that we're going to have to play early and often. As you're a week in and get to see them on the field in the practice a little bit, do you have any more confidence in those younger guys? And if so, who?
Yeah, J.D. Law is really having a good camp, and we need him. He's got length, he has speed, size. Kind of messed his shoulder up a little bit, and he's been in a yellow jersey and hasn't been able to do it. But man, the first 4 or 5 days, he was really coming on. Crawford is going to be a really good player. He's just a freshman. Amon Lane has shown some flashes. We need Kite to come on. He's got the ability. He's learning how to be disciplined and do your job over and over again. So I think we've made progress there at creating some depth behind Keontae and Ken Lee. You know, the safeties guys, Terrence Love is coming on. Jaron Thompson, obviously, is one of the leaders back there with Champ and Caleb Wooten. But we're going to need Sylvester and Terrence to play a lot of snaps, and Robinson is got a chance to help us there too.
And that is those some of the comments from Hugh Freeze earlier today. If we get a chance, we'll let you hear some more. It was all Q&A today. And now some folks may be wondering, who was he talking about there? I have to feel like that Hugh Freeze had a defensive back named J.D. Law or something very close, or knew someone named J.D. Law. He's talking about J.C. Hart. And J.C. Hart has really had a good camp. I mentioned this,
I believe, at the press conference last week before fall camp got going.
He said he called him J.D. Law.
He referred to J.D. Law, and we were sort of wondering what is it? And my assumption is that there is a he is combining J.D. Rim, who was on the team in the last couple of years and went in the portal. I mean, you have Terrence Love right now on the team, and then you have J.C. Hart. And he's sort of combining those guys into J.D.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the first time I heard him say, I was like, did he say J.D. Love?
No, I knew he said Law.
And I was like, is Terrence Love going by J.D.
But,
now?
But regardless, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, he could put Law on the back of his jersey, but he's going to be on the field. He is running. J.C. Hart is running second team right now, looking really good.
What would happen if something happened to Keontae or Kane Lee on the outside? And I think the answer
J.C. Hart may be pushing to be that third guy right now. Although we're seeing that Antonio Kite, who he said needs to step up, may have had a pick six in practice today. But really good to see that J.C. Hart is. I mean, he is really coming on. You can tell him because he's big. Yeah. For a corner. I mean, he's 6'2", right at 200 pounds, but playing really well
They've shown a willingness to give Sylvester Smith a shot, who was a redshirt player last year who didn't play very much, against high-leverage situations last year. You know, they mostly used him when the game was in hand, mop-up duty, the non-conference schedule. That was sort of the way J.C. Hart was utilized last year, too. And for those two guys to be pushing for important roles, first guy up as your corner, and Sylvester Smith, I mean, it's Caleb versus Smith to be that other safety next to
Buck Thompson. Caleb right now apparently is hanging on. I mean, he's holding on to that number one spot. All right, we need to get to our final break here of hour number one. Love for you to join.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Hour number one pretty much is done. What I'd do is sort of go over my unofficial depth chart just from watching a few days of practice. As Auburn getting ready for some scrimmage work in the stadium tomorrow, we'll let you probably hear some more of Hugh Freeze. We've got players and coaches. Love to hear from you, though. Give us a call. Join us in hour number two, which is coming up.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in as we head into the final hour of the show for the week. And, you know, when we come back Monday, we'll be less than 2 weeks. Less than 3 weeks away from the less than 2 weeks away from high school football, 3 weeks away from Auburn's.
We will be
game.
Exactly a week away from the start of classes. And
oh,
the
you're
start,
right about that.
And the first Tiger Talk of
that
the,
is right.
Our good buddy Andy. That's on the 19th. Tiger Talk moving to Mondays this mm-hmm. season, and that will be on Wings 94.3, where you can catch all of the Auburn University football action this year. Every game you can listen live on Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn Opelika area. They'll also have Tiger Talk. They'll also have Auburn men's basketball all season long. So as though you didn't already do this, make sure you got 94.3 saved in the presets, right on the
oh, yes.
on the computer, you know, on the radio dial. Make sure one of your I like to, you know, I would even argue make sure it's in the top 3. You know, I'm not, you know, we're on ESPN 106.7, so I can't argue for it to have the top spot on your preset.
Well,
some people like
I
to do it.
I do them in order.
You like to do it low to
I
high.
I do them in yeah, order. Yeah.
So
I know exactly where they are.
I waffle back and forth. Sometimes I go power rankings. Sometimes I go.
It just doesn't feel right. Sometimes I give them an order not to have them in order.
Well, if you're doing it in power rankings,
yeah.
Wings needs to be in the top 3. Dare I say the top 2? But you can catch Auburn University Athletics there, and yeah, we're just under or just over a week away from the first Tiger Talk, mm-hmm. and I mean 2 weeks from you know, you think about 2 weeks.
2 weeks from today is the opening of high school.
Yeah,
the opening.
And the day before
night of high school,
and the day before the Dublin game that
right.
that Barrett was just talking about in the first hour. Tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow, you've got college football starting.
Yeah, that's
not
crazy,
not here in Auburn. Auburn is in 3 weeks.
Yep.
But 2 weeks from tomorrow, you've got the first college football action, including the first game of the year, which is in Dublin, Florida State versus Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Auburn will head to the stadium for a practice that can be viewed by On to Victory members. We're going to get a chance, there's the media, to watch practice as well. Looking forward to that. We had a chance to talk with Hugh Freeze today about the first week of practice, getting ready for tomorrow's practice, and much more. We ran some of that earlier. If we get a chance, we will run some more. We also have interviews with coaches and players, assistant coaches, and some players from this past week that we will run as right now. I mean, things are trending up. It's been a good first week of practice, but still a long way to go.
Love talking to Brandon Frazier earlier this week because he's got such a great story as a guy who persevered through. We'll see how the season goes for mm-hmm. him. But a guy who pushed through and now looks.
Yeah, you
to be
wondered.
In
line. You wondered heading into last year, were we ever going to get a chance to really see him at all in an Auburn uniform on the field?
And you didn't see a ton of him last season.
No,
either.
But you did a little more down the stretch.
You saw a little more down the stretch, and he sounds like a guy. I mean, it sounds like there was a real push. And this is meaningful, too, Bill. You know, Brandon Frazier is a guy who could have called it a career after last season.
Oh, yeah.
He could have transferred somewhere else.
Well, he was getting married.
He was getting married. And for Hugh Freeze and Ben Igamawa to explain what Auburn would get out of another year of Brandon Frazier, why it would make sense for Auburn to go and bring Brandon back and give him another season and let him try to have the best season of his career in his last year at Auburn, and it looks like he could be in line to do exactly that. And he's got a great perspective on his story, but also the development Rivaldo's made, the differences in Peyton Thorne, the overall differences in the offense. Like he's got a great view. He's got a bird's eye view from up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you're right. At 6'7". I mean, he is a tall guy.
He's got a view from the top all that stuff.
We'll let you hear Brandon here in just a couple of minutes after we take care of a little business. Hour number two of the drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us. Love for you to join in here in hour number two of the drive by calling the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Why don't I thought I'd go through the projected depth chart that I have here. We'll do that for the rest of this segment. Then we'll run Brandon. That'd
okay. Well, I want to give people a chance to hear the rest of Hugh too, because he does the receiver. He gives the receiver answer, which I thought there was some really interesting.
Yeah, you're
stuff
right.
In the,
you're right.
In the second half of Hugh. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and do that.
Finish
let's,
Hugh and then
let's
come back
run
to
Hugh,
depth chart.
We'll do the depth chart. Then we'll let you hear Brandon Frazier. So we'll continue as this just Q&A with Coach Hugh Freeze earlier today.
Coach, seems like the changing of the guard at the coordinator spots on both sides of the football. You guys added a ton of energy. I mean, Nick brings it, Kelly brings it, DJ brings it. Just how intentional was that? Like, we need guys to kind of bring the juice, and just kind of how have you seen that affect the guys?
It was absolutely necessary for me to do that, for my sanity, for my help. I have to have some help with that, and and DJ and Charles and Nick's and really have helped me with that. So I think it's become contagious. I think the kids see it. I think it breeds over even some confidence to them. And so I couldn't be more pleased with the chemistry of the staff right now.
Morning, Coach. Overall, could you tell us, in your own opinion, who has impressed you throughout camp or who's really stood out?
You know, I hate just talking about who has. I think the whole group has given incredible effort. I mean, if you start on the D-line, you know, I mean, obviously Keldrick and J-Mac, you know what they can do and what they're going to be. And those inside guys rotating have been pretty impressive. The rotation, Keon Crawford has stood out. He's going to give us valuable minutes. And Amaris Williams is going to be really, really talented. So I'd say it's probably that front that stood out to me as, all right, we've got more depth there than we had last year.
Hugh, in these different days, Is redshirting players almost just a thing of the past since they can now leave? And that's one question. And two, how challenging is it if somebody's really not ready to play or play much to make him understand so he doesn't just take off and leave?
That is incredibly challenging today to explain to someone, this is going to be best for you long term. And I wish I could get Van Jefferson on the phone or, you know, DK Metcalf maybe and say, look, explain to them how you redshirt in year one was really good for you. And but that's not the easiest thing to explain for sure. I don't even begin to think about redshirting at this point until we kind of get into the season, a few games, and see how everybody's processing and the chances they get on the field. There are a few right now that I would look at that I think are going to be, I mean, even to the point of NFL players, but it's probably in their best interest if they were to give it a year. But most of the time that's hard for them to see. So that's a difficult challenge, but we'll play each individual by ear, and it's really a week-to-week deal of seeing kind of where they're at that point and where we are with a healthy roster.
Coach, you're evaluating nine scholarship receivers, seven of them new to the team. What are the most important factors, and has there been any separation so far at the receiver position?
If I were to go through them, you know, Dre's been solid. He's been a good leader. Robert Lewis is really taking on a leadership role in that room. They're both going to be dependent upon to give us solid minutes and to do the right things and the needed things. Sam Jackson's got some maturity and some experience that hopefully will help. And Camden Brown obviously is an incredible teammate and a solid player in that room that you can depend upon, Caleb. Then you go to those young kids that are all super talented. I mean, like really talented. It's and you know, how ready will they be? It's hard to see or to say, but I'm excited about them for sure. I mean, we tossed Malcolm a little toss sweep in the first little red zone lockout competition from the 25-yard line, and he looked like an absolute jet, and he was just untouched, and we didn't have that type of weapon last year, and he just loves the game, and he's coming on pretty fast, as is Bryce, is playing faster, and Perry and Cam have the bodies right now to do that. You know, there's a lot of things to learn, for sure, particularly the top end of the route stuff for them and how to play fast every play. And but I'm pleased with where that room is right now.
That was Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze. And yeah, I got my question there at the end about the receivers, Bill, and I thought
weren't there a couple more though?
Was there is there how much more is in the
7 minutes?
Okay, Fergus another question. I know that I want to talk a little bit about his answer there at the receiver. We can finish it up if you want there, because we were talking about the Malcolm story, mm-hmm. which I don't believe anybody had from. I mean, was it the day before at practice or what?
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, but the thing is, people every time. People have been talking about the receivers. It's like, hey, don't forget Malcolm Simmons. He has really shown some athleticism. A couple of the defensive backs had talked about Malcolm.
Yeah, if you had to try to go stock up, stock down based on that answer, you would think that the guys in line for the most playing time would appear to be your three incoming veteran transfers and your four incoming freshmen or your four newly arrived freshman. Camden Brown gets described as a good teammate. I think Burton, it's a relatively
the
brief,
same is what
same,
he says.
The same is what he says. And you know, that's not to say those guys can't also find themselves in the rotation. But
tomorrow's big, and whenever the second scrimmage is really big.
You want these guys. You want to play the rest of of Coach Freeze?
Yes, Coach. What's the plan for Saturday, and where you guys do some scrimmaging?
I don't know. We sure need to tackle some. But then I'm not on my phone all day pretty much, and then I open up the dadgum Twitter X, whatever you call it, and see that a team in our conference lost their starting tailback. You know, that keeps you up at night. Not all of the scrimmage will be live, but my plan currently is, yes, there will be a portion of Thud and then a portion of live. And in the portion of live, there will probably be a few people that don't participate in it.
Hey, Coach. Caleb Jones, Rivals. From a recruiting perspective, how are things going in your eyes, and what is it right now that's got kids buying into Auburn?
I think we've been consistent with our message. I think our message is pretty simple, come and see. And we think that Auburn has a different environment and culture than many. I'm not saying that that's best for everyone or that we're better than someone else, but I do think we're different. And I think there's a lot of families that when they get here, they sense that. Obviously, we've got a competitive, fair NIL with On to Victory. I think that's a part of the discussion. We can't sit here and say it's not, but it's not like we're crazy with it. I'm very upfront and say I think you know there are things in life should be earned, and I think we're fair. I think that helps, but I really think it's the culture that people believe, and I've got a good staff that does a great job with it and building relationships with them and their families. And so I'm pleased with where we currently are. Do we need a few more pieces to the puzzle? Yes, and we're working hard at that. And hopefully can land a few more of those. And, you know, we've made it a priority to start here in state. And I think right now we're in a good position with that plan that we put in place. It seems to have been beneficial and worked to this point. obviously it's never over, but you know, yeah, pleased right now. I don't know. We're in the top 10 in the country, I would think. And that's where you've got to stay if you want to compete. And if we can finish out with a few more pieces that that we're targeting, I think, you know, we'll been able to stack a 25 class on top of the 24, which I think was a really solid class also. So pretty comfortable where we are right now.
Hugh, we've heard from the offensive line, some of the running backs, that the running game has gone pretty well so far in camp. What's your assessment of y'all's ground attack? Do you feel like you guys have made some really good progress there?
Well, I think we have a ways to go with that, truthfully. But some of it is you're not planning for the fronts every day. And here's another front that, oh, crap, you know, and you're trying to run this new blocking scheme, and this would be one where I want Peyton to get out of it. And so that's where we are right now, is now we're at a point of, I don't think we have any more runs going in. Not that we don't have others, but I consider them auxiliary runs where, all right, this week this could be good, and you put it in that week. But our base runs are now pretty much in, and now it's a matter of us getting out of it if it's not the right look, and what do you go to, and making sure our quarterbacks understand that. So it's probably some of that, too, where we just ran this blocking scheme into a tight front, and it's just not going to be very beneficial. So I like our run game. We've gotten back to exactly what I'm used to from my days in the past, and I know it has answers. We just got to make sure we do a good job teaching what the answers are.
Coach, can you speak on the progression from year one to year two now with you at the helm, as well as just the team's identity overall going into the season?
The team's culture is better, the team's chemistry is better, and the team's accountability is better, the effort's better, our roster's better. I don't know what that means for year two, but I enjoy where we are right now.
Last year, midway through camp, you described Peyton Thorne as pressing. Following up on his performance this spring, do you feel like he's worked through the things that you saw last spring? And what is the biggest difference you see in him this fall camp versus last year?
Yeah, I don't really want to even remember last year. I just I just think he's I don't want to set him up for undue criticism or anything. I mean, obviously quarterbacks are going to have that if you don't have success, and they're going to get all the praise if you do have success. But I'm pleased with exactly where he is, the work we've done in the off season to understand each other has been beneficial. I can see it. I think he's very confident. And obviously having guys that he feels like can win at the top end of the route is helpful too, to eliminate some of that hesitation that I think makes for a really, really bad decision.
You rattled off a bunch of names on both sides of the ball, young guys that are talent, all this. How beneficial can they be on the special team side, and also getting them some experience, even just more than the return game, coverage teams, all those things, when you run through all those guys on both sides of the ball?
Tanner thinks we're leaps and bounds better, going to be leaps and bounds better on all of our coverage teams because of that young depth. We have more guys that can run, and they're bigger and stronger, and that's what you need on some of these coverage units especially. And obviously we feel good. Alex is getting better. He's gaining weight and feeling better every day. So between he and Towns, we feel pretty good there. Feel good about Oscar. But the coverage units, you need bigger, fresher, faster bodies. And Tanner feels like we've improved that.
That is Hugh Freeze from earlier today, and that answered the question we had a while ago about Alex McPherson. He's gaining weight and feeling better every day, so that is good. I mean, thus far, I mean, it's been a good fall camp. We'll sort of preview the expected depth chart when we come back, and we've got audio for you as well. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 26 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Love for you to join in. Yes, as we get ready for tomorrow's practice, which should include some scrimmaging, according to Coach Hugh Freeze. Here's sort of a quick look at what I have unofficially. I know that Hugh and some of the coaches have said they really don't have a depth chart, but you got to know who's going out in what order. I mean, quarterback Peyton Thorne is definitely your number one. The number two spots, one that's been is going to be really interesting to see. Is it Holden Gerner? Is it Hank Brown? It's appeared to be Holden early on. Sounds like Hank had a better day today. Tomorrow will be a big day for them. Then Walter White has tremendous athletic ability, but as Hugh Freeze said today, I mean, he's still learning reading the defense and getting the offense into the right place.
You may have called him Walter. Be aware.
Walker. Yeah, I sure did.
Walter White. Walter White's famous one too. But you're right.
You're right. He's more famous than Walker.
Now I believe Walker was born before that show premiered.
He was.
So it's just a tough break in that situation. But it does seem like Peyton. A healthy distance between whoever's two.
It's Peyton and then the battle for number two.
Yeah, and maybe Hank's ahead of Holden,
although
we don't know.
I mean, it'll be interesting to watch tomorrow. Right. Running back, I wonder how much we see of Jarquez in the scrimmaging tomorrow. They know what he can do, and you heard Hugh talking about Texas losing an outstanding running back, but Auburn's got a really great situation there with Damari Alston, Jeremiah Cobb, and then Justin Jones has been added a scholarship, and Sean Jackson is back. So there are the running backs. At receiver, your first three receivers thus far when we have looked out there this fall have been Dre Lambert, Smith, Robert Lewis, and Cam Coleman. That's been your first three. The second three, now that's where it is bounced back and forth. Camden Brown has been backing up Cam Coleman. It'll be interesting to see where Perry Thompson, they've used him both inside and out. At the slot, it appears that Bryce Kane is really having a good camp. Caleb Burton may have a little catching up to do. And then Sam Jackson and Malcolm Simmons are both going to play. And those two guys can really put pressure on teams downfield. Tight end room is a great room with Rivaldo Fairweather, Luke Deal, Brandon Frazier, who we're going to let you hear in just a few minutes, and then youngsters Micah Riley and Rico Walker is the transfer is a good looking young tight end as well. The starting offensive line is what we expected with Percy Lewis at left tackle, Dylan Wade at guard, Connor Lew at center, Jeremiah Wright the right guard, and Tutal Miller at tackle. You heard Hugh Freeze, if you got a chance to hear earlier, talking about some of the backups. Tyler Johnson has been impressive. Man, he's another large body there at left tackle. Braden Joyner has really stepped things up, working both at guard and tackle. Tate Johnson can play both those positions as well. E.J. Harris appears to be the backup at right guard, and then Ronan Chambers and Seth Wilfred at the right tackle spot. Defensively, Jalen McLeod is completely healthy there at the buck. The addition of Kieron Crawford has been a huge addition. And then you've got two freshmen and Jamonta Waller and Joe Phillips there at the buck spot. where Auburn has stepped things up, and Hugh Freeze seems really pleased.
If Auburn wants, let's jump in real quick there. If Auburn had not landed Kieron Crawford in the portal, I think you'd be talking about a pretty healthy competition behind.
Oh, you're absolutely right with the two freshmen.
With freshmen, and maybe Auburn would have tried to go find. But being able to add a player like that who they think is going to be a starter before he leaves Auburn. It's just a matter of does it happen.
I think he gets to play a lot this year, probably with and not just in for Jalen McLeod, but with Jalen McLeod.
Yeah, and I think there's a question of which one of them is better against the run. Like right now, they feel like Jalen McLeod's the better pass rusher of the two, although I know people have been complimentary about Kieron as a passer.
I think Jalen feels like he's better against the run, and Kieron may be better as a pass rusher.
Although Kieron Crawford was impressive against the run as well at Arkansas State. I mean, there's going to be an adjustment jumping up from the Sun Belt.
Yeah, but, a little more talented guys.
But Jalen McLeod had to make that adjustment last year coming from App.
All right, inside is where Auburn appears really to have stepped things up with the additions of the transfers this summer in Isaiah Rakes and Philip Bleedy, who Hugh Freeze said maybe as strong a guy as he has ever been around there on the defensive line. Gage Keys and Jason Jones are trying to hold those two guys off as starters. Then you have DJ Reed, Trill Carter, Bobby Jamison, Travis, and Malik Blockton. You've got so with Carter and Jamison Travis, a little more experienced guys, and then the youngsters in Reed and Blockton. But there are eight guys for those two spots inside. And that's really nice. Then at defensive end, Keldrick Falk, the super sophomore, is out there with the experienced Zykevious Williams, and then the young and very talented Morris Williams and true freshman TJ Lindsey. So you look, and there's a four deep at all four of those defensive front positions that you feel like most of those guys could step in and play. Looking forward to watching them tomorrow. I'm not stunned to hear that the defense had a good day of practice today when you look at that front. And then at linebacker, you've got the experience of Eugene Asante and Austin Keys. Darian Mousy, who the transfer who came in, has had a really good fall, as has Robert Woodyard. You know, you may have forgotten about him. Highly touted, was Auburn's, I guess, highest touted signee a couple of years ago. And he is finally healthy and pushing. And then behind them, you have Fanage Gote, the transfer this spring from Maryland, and then true freshman DeMarcus Riddick, DJ Barber, and former safety, junior college All-American safety, Laquan Robinson. So eight deep there at linebacker. The boundary corners, Kyan Lee with Antonio Kite and Jake Crawford that appear to be behind him. J.C. Hart, I mentioned, has played really well. That gives Auburn two good-sized corners with Keontae Scott and J.C. Hart behind them. And Hugh Freeze said that Amon Lane has played well there. The slot corner is Champ Anthony with Jaquez Robinson and Caleb Harris getting work in behind them. The safeties are Jaron Bug Thompson, and looks like Caleb Wooden is slightly ahead of Sylvester Smith. Terrence Love is another youngster who is going to get some playing time in the safety. And then you've got Griffin Speaks, who's gone on scholarship, and Kinsley Loader Faustin are a couple of other guys that are looking for playing time. And we talked about the specialists with Alex McPherson getting healthier, Auburn fortunate with Towns Magoo in, and then Oscar Chapman. So that's pretty much your depth chart. Oh, and the long snapper should be, I believe, Reed Hughes is number one at the long snapper. So I think I covered every position there. Now that could change tomorrow, and we'll see how things go for tomorrow. But that's just sort of the way it looks going into the first scrimmage. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got some audio from Brandon Frazier, Auburn senior tight end, when we come back. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 22 minutes away from 6 o'clock. And, we've been wanting to let you hear some audio from Auburn senior tight end Brandon Frazier. And since we don't have any calls, we'll go ahead and do that right now.
Jeremiah's hamming up over there.
Oh, I know.
He loves it.
He loves the attention.
He loves
it. He won't tell you, but he does.
He loves it.
I guess just how's camp been for you in the tight end room so far?
Well, it's been good. We're a vet group, so we expect a lot out of ourselves. And I think we've been handling good so far. You know, first 2 days were pretty hot, but I think the tight end's been making some plays. And, I think we're trying to kind of be the vocal point on offense, just kind of bleed out. Luke does a really good job of that consistently, and I'm not the biggest talker, but I'll try and show it through actions rather than words. But I think we've been doing well, and I think I've been having a pretty good camp myself, so yeah.
Brandon, how different is it with Coach Nicks as the coordinator?
He definitely brings the energy. He's fired up every day, and it's fun to play for a guy like that who brings the energy. And you don't have to worry about him not having a good day, and he's always bringing other people up, and he's a good leader, and he knows the whole offense as he should, but he's awesome to have around. And
how different is the offense just scheme wise?
It's definitely a lot more quicker RPO. The quarterback has the ability to kind of check what he wants against the defense, which helps us as receivers and tight ends get the ball out quick. And, I think Coach Freeze told us this morning that we threw for 488 yards yesterday, and it was just a bunch of RPO stuff. It wasn't really our, deep drop back pass game. Right. So, but, it seems to be working against our defense. We go back and forth every day, so it's awesome to have competition.
Luke and Rivaldo have talked about how, they know your story. They know how you fought for playing time throughout your Auburn career. How cool it would be to see you, really have a big last year. Was there temptation to walk away? Was it you're still here fighting for playing time?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting 4 years for me. Three different head coaches, and I could have left multiple times, but Luke's one of my best friends, and Valdo and I are pretty good friends as well. But I'm just kind of tired of being not so good, to be honest, here at Auburn. I think we could have been a lot better the last couple of years, and I think me riding it out just kind of what some of the guys decided to do together, and we're all like, all right, let's come back, let's just do whatever we have to do to win, whether that's you play, me play, we all play, just cheering each other on. We don't really care who gets majority of the reps, but it's just team at the end of the day for us. So, I'm glad I stayed, honestly. So,
is there a feeling among especially the guys who signed with Auburn out of high school who are seniors now, that group that weathered the storm of the last couple of years, is there a feeling of, it'd be really important to have a big triumphant final year?
Yeah, no, for sure. We talk about all the time, the 2020 guys were like, dude, remember this, remember that? Like, there's a bunch of remember this, but now we're trying to, kind of leave our footprint this year for the, the new guys that just came in and kind of lay the foundation. And that was a big thing Freeze told me coming back, or he was saying, I'd love for you to kind of set the foundation for what we're going to have in the future. And I was like, I believe in what you're doing, and I think this is going to work. And I just kind of stuck with the plan, and I'm excited about this season. So,
yeah, do you get the sense, Brandon, it's going to be a much better ball club, just top to bottom?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I definitely believe that we have the guys to do it and the scheme to do it, and now it's just doing it. I think that, receivers, running back room, O-line room, defense, I think we're complete all around, and I think we can definitely compete for an SEC championship. So I'm excited. Really excited.
Can you feel with the players that everybody else knows?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely think everyone knows that. It's just like some of the days we'll go out there kind of, lackadaisical, and that's just, that's not our standard. Like, if we have one bad day off and other teams having a good day, you can definitely hear the older guys, lift up the younger guys, and, work's got to be done. And I think that you know, in fall camp it's kind of hard, you know, waking up, doing the same thing every day for 12, 14 hours. But, you know, just looking ahead to season, all the guys are excited. And you can definitely tell, like, the culture's different amongst the players and players to coaches, coaches to coaches. It's all over the place. So we're excited. I'm very excited.
What are the tangible signs that says this team is better?
I think, one, experience. I do know that we got some young guys outside in the receiver room, but those guys are showing every day so far in fall camp that they can win the one-on-ones, get separation. You know, I think that our running back room's old. You know, we got Jarquez, Damari, Sean, and even Jeremiah, but we just got a lot of older players with experience and a lot of selfless guys, which I think is really going to help us in the long run. And, you know, you got a lot of young talent, and, you know, that's where the older guys got to come in and, you know, kind of show them the way of how to practice like a pro and all that. So,
what have you seen out of Micah and then Enrico?
Yeah, no, Micah, you know, Micah's been here now. I think it's his third year. You know, I think he's finally understanding that he's, you know, he's gained weight. You know, he had a lot of weight on, kind of lost it. He got sick a year or two ago, but he's finally understanding that he can play in this league. And, you know, it's a little tough for him just because, you know, you got 2 5th-year guys and 1 6th-year guy in that room. But, you know, he's battling every day. He's a dog. I love Micah to death. And Rico, I mean, they both make plays all the time. It's just Rico's a little bit younger, but he's finally understanding the offense. And, you know, they're both fun guys to be around. And, you know, it's just kind of those are two of the jokesters in the room. So it's always fun laughing with them and realizing how young they are compared to us 22 and 23-year-olds with Luke Deal.
Rivaldo was still relatively new to football when he got here.
Right.
Played, you know, started playing late in his high school career. Where have you seen him develop since arriving at Auburn, and you know, what kind of player can he be?
Yeah, Valdo is special. You know, he can run routes like a receiver. He can stick his head in the run game and block like a true tight end. You know, he's really a dual threat at the position. And, you know, I see him all the time make crazy catches that it's just like, wow. But that's like routine to him. You know, he puts in the work behind the scenes, and it really shows up in practice and in the games. And then, you know, when we're in a critical down or distance, it's usually like, all right, Valdo, here it comes. And the fact that he's only been playing for 5-6 years now is kind of crazy. And I think he's really peaking at this. Like right now, he's kind of peaking for the season. And it's been fun to watch and fun to play alongside him. So, you know, trying to get some tools out of his tool belt. But he can move a little bit better than I can.
Mentioning his experience, talk about Peyton. Or Jeremiah was talking about Peyton, where he's grown. How much more comfortable does he look and feel out there?
Oh yeah, it's night and day. I mean, he's really out there operating the offense. You know, he's checking things that he sees pre-snap. You know, he sees a blitz coming off the edge, he'll shift the O-line, and you know, he just feels real comfortable back there. I think last year he's kind of second guessing himself a little bit, but that was just because, you know, he got there in the summer. And but I mean, he's had a whole year and a half now to figure it out, and him and Freeze on the same page, and you can tell he's on the same page with all the receivers as well. It's pretty fun to watch, knowing that he's comfortable back there and we're comfortable running when we know the ball's going to be where it needs to be. So
what's the biggest difference you've seen that those young receivers have been able to make in the offense? You know, Peyton talked in the spring about adding a guy like Cam, and obviously Keandre's with you guys now, and
yeah,
having those other options on maybe critical passing downs.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. You know, when it's third and long, you can kind of, or even a 50-50 ball, you know, those guys have a better chance of 50% to come down with it. And you know, you see it day after day, and you know, Cam, Dre, Perry, Camden Brown, you know, all those receivers, they're pushing each other because it's competition within the team. You know, who wants to be out on the field, and like those guys are going to create some problems for the defense, which will hopefully, you know, free up the tight end a little bit.
People mentioned Cam making plays, like you said, every day. Off the top of your head, what's maybe one play you remember from this fall or spring that stood out to you the most that he made?
Oh, it was either today or yesterday. Jump ball on the – it was yesterday. We were doing team move the ball and on like the 15-yard line, first and 10, just called a simple fade to him, and he just went up, caught it, and just kind of jogged off like it was routine. It's kind of awesome seeing that. So, I mean, he does stuff like that all the time. I saw a picture of him catching the one hand the other day. I didn't see it, but, you know, I'm not surprised that he does stuff like that. He's going to be special.
Hey, Brandon, you see, talking about trying to compete for an SEC championship, the idiots like us picked you guys 10th in the preseason media poll. Does that register at all with you guys? Or?
No, I didn't know that.
My bad.
But, you know, I'm sure – we'll use that as fuel, if anything. I think that, you know, that's fair for y'all to do that because of the last couple of years. But, you know, we got to go out and still prove that we can win in this conference. And, you know, I'm excited to kind of, you know, see some people turn their heads to Auburn this year and know that we can truly win. And, you know, we start with 5 straight home games. I don't see why we don't start 5-0. And then, yeah, I think we're going to have to win some games on the road, but I think this team can do it. So.
You got to see Peyton work through last fall camp when he was brand new to the team. What's different about him, you know, seeing him for the first couple of days of this fall camp?
Yeah, I mean, now I think he can tell you, you know, what the defense is going to be in before the defense even knows. On down and distance, you know, left hash, right hash. You know, last year was just he kind of got there, you know, a couple weeks or maybe a few months before summer started. And, you know, he's been in here all summer before fall camp, even in the spring, you know, working one-on-one with Breeze and the receivers. So, I mean, you can tell that he's matured. You know, it's kind of a funny word to use to describe him, but, you know, he's comfortable back there. And that's what you kind of need at the quarterback position. And I think, yeah.
What's your sense of how the guys are doing after Peyton? The guys battling sort of beat the next guy up, Hank and Walker and Holden?
Yeah, I think those guys, you know, it's kind of – they're still developing a little bit. Obviously, they're both young. Walker just got here, but, you know, the talent's there. It's just kind of, you know, learning how to read the defense and making the throws and, you know, don't be afraid to make a mistake. You know, that's something all the young guys kind of worry about getting out there, you know. If I do this, oh, coach is going to yell at me like, yeah, it's football. You're going to make mistakes. You just got to, you know, kind of trust your gut. And I think they're doing a good job. You know, since fall camps, Hank's been doing a good job. Holden's been doing a good job. Walker, I've been talking to him every night, Walker. He's been kind of going up and down, but the last couple practices, he's kind of been taking some steps up. And, you know, I can tell he's kind of calming down back there, and he's trusting that he can do it, and that's why he's here at Auburn. So.
Brandon Frazier talking with the media. A lot of questions there, Dan. I guess if folks get up, leave the table, and come back. But, I mean, that was good stuff.
Yeah, great stuff from Brandon. And you know, okay, so Brandon Frazier is an Academy Award-winning yes. actor, star of The Whale, Encino Man, George of the Jungle. Brandon,
that's a couple of different roles.
Well, yeah. he's got range. He's got range. He's the lawyer in Flower Moon.
He was the baseball player.
He's the baseball player in the Scout.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Albert Brooks.
Yep.
Right, the Albert Brooks movie. Yeah, he's also Dudley Do-Right. I believe in the live action Dudley Do-Right
George of
film.
The Jungle and Dudley. Do-Right?
I believe he was
wow.
both. I believe he was both.
I'm impressed.
I believe he was both George of the Jungle. He was not Inspector Gadget, but no. he was George of the Jungle and Dudley Do-Right. So that's Brendan Fraser. Brandon Frazier is the tight end we just heard from. Brandon, like the former Auburn quarterback Brandon Cox, or the former Auburn running back Brandon Jacobs. Frazier, like Dr. Frazier Crane, right? Like in you know, it's with a Z, but it's a confusing one nevertheless. Kind of like Walter White earlier in the show. But great stuff from Brandon about his journey, about the mm-hmm. way Rivaldo's you know, making a huge impact this year, and about what feels different from last year to this year. Great stuff from the veteran tight end.
All right, we will get to our final break of the show. Back to wrap things up here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, y'all, listen up. This is Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones with a school safety message. When you drive